It's noon on a crisp, sunny day in October in Somerville, Massachusetts. A small park in Davis Square is filled with musicians carrying a variety of shiny brass instruments. They look as colorful as their music sounds, and they are wearing what seems like the contents of a child's play closet. One guy is wearing a skin-tight lime green bunny suit. Musicians are warming up their instruments while observers mill about, taking in the beautiful day. They're all waiting for the start of the fourth annual Honk Festival, a weekend-long event dedicated to street bands. That's the Pink Puffers. They're just one of the 28 alternative marching bands represented here. These groups of musical artists are also known as radical brass bands, marching bands, do-it-yourself brass bands, activist street bands, the clandestine brass underground, and honk bands. Sarah Valentine, a dancer with the Hungry March Band in New York, prefers a broader term, global brass. She says the movement is influenced by a do-it-yourself punk aesthetic and attitude.
Anybody can make music, pick up a guitar, play three chords. This is the same idea. Like, anybody can play music, pick up a brass instrument, pick up a drum, choreograph a simple dance routine, and you can have this community project that's exciting and fun and participatory and uplifting and grassroots and something that people can share together.
The music these bands play isn't what you'd hear in a high school marching band. It's loud, it's primarily heard on the street, and it takes from brass music from around the world. Members of the bands are generally in their 20s or 30s, and they're having fun.
Hungry March Band didn't start to like create a revolution. Hungry March Band was formed by a bunch of people that wanted to make noise and make a spectacle.
While some bands may be more interested in revolution than others, just the very nature of them challenges the status quo, says Daniel Lang Levitsky of the Rude Mechanical Orchestra, or the RMO, in Brooklyn.
The way that I think about it is that, broadly in general, any street brass project, whether or not it thinks it is a political project in the way that it takes up public space, doesn't rely on the apparatus of a club, amplification, etc., and the way that it's a fundamentally participatory musical experience. But within that broader realm of street bands, there's the group of bands that RMO is part of, which are explicitly political projects that exist to support social justice movements.
The Rude Mechanical Orchestra is one of these bands. Lang Levitsky says that from day one, the band has played to support many different causes and has risked arrest to do so.
We talk about the band as having formed for the 2004 mobilization against the Republican National Convention in New York, which was mainly focused on the one hand on anti-war organizing and on the other hand on a set of local issues mainly affecting poor and working class communities of color. But before the band existed and had a name and a structure, its actual birth point was for the earlier in 2004, March for Women's Lives in D.C. We tend to get talked about as much more of a group with a history of working on anti-war stuff and on the class and race issues in the city, but paired with that from the very beginning has been feminist and queer and trans issues, which also very much reflects the makeup of the band.
Lang Levitsky says the RMO and other street bands connect to larger political movements, both past and present, by playing their music.
The history of solidarity between movements in different places has been a history of learning each other's music and singing together. I mean, I come from a red diaper family. I grew up singing radical songs with slightly butchered pronunciation in four or five languages. And that's something that if you talk to folks who were, who've been part of radical movements pretty much anywhere, that gets talked about as what makes movements connect to each other is in part being able to sit down with folks and sing together and play music together.
In the past decade, political street bands have become a vibrant part of many protests. Many were inspired by the Infernal Noise Brigade at the 1999 WTO protests in Seattle. But the history of these bands goes back much further. In the 1960s, one notable group used brass music in anti-war protests. Michelle Hardisi was a founding member of the Rude Mechanical Orchestra.
One group that was based in New York City back in the 60s and is now up in rural Vermont is Bread and Puppet Theater, who have always combined political theater, puppet theater, with street music. They've always had a brass band playing along with their actions and with their shows. They started in the Lower East Side back in the 1960s doing anti-war, Vietnam anti-war actions, and have continued to this day, coming to and inspiring others to do combined kind of performance, cultural performance with political action.
In the United States, brass music is very often associated with military music. Even in that context, though, it has had major social influences. In World War I, the famed Harlem Hellfighters, or the 369th Infantry Regiment, was the first African-American regiment. They were also highly decorated by the French, and they had a brass band led by James Reese Europe that brought ragtime music to Europe for the first time. But perhaps the most famous street bands in America are New Orleans bands. These bands often played at funerals around the turn of the century. They were arranged by social aid and pleasure clubs, which were founded to give newly freed slaves loans, legal counsel, and education. Balkan brass is also a strong influence. The songs of the Romani, more commonly referred to as gypsies, are another musical favorite of these bands because of their link to oppression. This is the Hungry March Band's version of Kalashnikov, the theme to the Serbian film Underground. But perhaps the most universally played song by political alternative marching bands is Bella Ciao. Bella Ciao is an anti-fascist Italian song about a partisan fighter who's preparing to die for liberty. It's a well-known protest song and appeals to the political nature of some of the bands. Here are the Brass Messengers of Minneapolis playing their version.
Una mattina mi son svegliato, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Una mattina mi son svegliato e ho trovato l'invaso.
The purpose of these bands is good.
Michelle Hardisi.
It's like bringing music back to the street, back to just like public spaces. It's celebrating public spaces. It's celebrating the potential for anyone to pick up an instrument and learn it and play together in a big band.
Daniel Lang Levitsky of the Rude Mechanical Orchestra.
There's a wonderful line of Tony Kid Bambara's that the task of the revolutionary artist is to make revolution irresistible. And that is a lot of what we do.
For Making Contact, I'm Sarah Danson.
Ciao, 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 ciao,